welcome to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you're talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
And welcome, everybody. I'm Anne, and I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything related to retail, NDC, one order, and distribution. Also work as an instructor with both IATA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So as last week, we had this as well. We had this breaking news just as it got in. I have to do the same.
Apologies for this interruption, but we have some breaking news.
There's amazing news coming out of Ireland. The details on this is a little bit unclear. Apparently, Michael O'Leary has called the day on Boeing, Ash. He's not happy with them at all. We know last week he was being quite criticizing of them, but he's gone ahead and pushed for the European Union to fast forward the certification of the Chinese Comac C919 narrow-body airliner, because apparently the engines, I didn't know this, but the CFM International Leap engines that they've purchased for their Boeing 737s are also the ones fitted to the Comac C919. And he's basically saying he's going to ditch Boeing in favor of the Comac C919. So what do you make of that, Ash?
I think he's got to put some pressure on Boeing. Some action is better than no action.
And are you ready to fly on a Comac?
I've flown most types of aircraft. I think it's good of O'Leary to raise his voice. He's one of the few who does.
So I can't believe I caught you both on the 1st of April with this story.
You know, the whole time I've been searching, I was searching the story. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Why is he talking about
this? What really caught me was that I know those planes, right?
Yes.
And I thought, ooh, yeah, okay, yeah, that was good.
But come on, guys, this could be a real headline soon, because I didn't know this, but when I did the sort of, let's call it quotes, research for this little story, it is actually true that the engines that Ryanair buys themselves for their Boeings is the same make as what Comac is using, the CFM engine. You know, we might not be far off here, but sorry, guys, for those of you, this was our little April Fool's story. What did you spot some April Fool's ones on LinkedIn today, Ash? I found one or two that was quite funny. And there is one from Travelport, which you will enjoy, which is called the something about avoidable seat map detector. It's like an AI thing. And the guy's calling in, he says he doesn't want to sit next to his boss, and he doesn't want to sit next to people who are drooping, snoring, or using neck pillows. And they all go, you know, it's quite a funny little sketch. So that was quite a funny one.
Okay, I enjoyed that.
Yes, there we go. Okay, let's get back to the real news. So, of course, last week was week 13 of 2024, and the big news that broke last week was the proposed acquisition of CWT by American Express Global Business Travel for $570 million in shares. We did cover that story to a degree last week when it broke, but there has been some updates and some subsequent posts about it. I don't know whether there's anything new to discuss. Ash, I know we both expressed a concern that maybe this won't get past the regulator, but I have been putting the feelers out to some of the people I know at MXGBT, and they are very confident that this will go through. So they're talking about second half of 2024. Have you heard much more?
When we talked about this last week, it was kind of happening and unraveling during the show, right? So there was a lot of information that still wasn't available to us at that time. But doesn't it shock you all that when American Express GBT bought HRG a few years ago, they bought HRG for almost the same price tag as CWT? To me, CWT is a much, much bigger brand. And the fact that the cost was almost the same, actually CWT was slightly cheaper, it is quite strange to me. I know some of that, of course, has to do with their debt. But wouldn't you say that CWT brand globally is a much stronger brand and has much more value?
I would 100% agree. When you asked me my comments last week, I did say when I listened back to the recording that there's something about the price which is not right. And I didn't mean that it was too much. I do agree with you. I do think it's underpriced. It's really sad times that a brand as strong as CWT is worth only that.
I agree. But then again, I mean, is that the sort of trend that we're seeing? The sort of the decline in the TMC business? I'm not surprised at the price tag at all. But I agree that CWT is a much stronger brand.
It was a very common comment I saw throughout the other posts, though. People saying, wow, that is a low value for a brand such as CWT. The impact of this is obviously quite substantial. There is obviously quite a lot of questions around existing announcements, like we mentioned last week by CWT about some of their partners. And also, both Anne and I are quite fascinated to hear what's going to happen with the CWT Sport Nana arrangement, for which there's been substantial development. development on the side of CWT. Or big question for me is, what are they going to retain the CWT brand and keep it separate? They're just going to merge that into the Amex fold and be done with it.
In my mind, I mean, when I thought about the brand piece, obviously American Express has other brands that they've kept in place, like Egencia is one of their brands that they've kept in place. Of course, Egencia has market value that's beyond Amex GBT. But when people don't choose Amex GBT, they tend to choose CWT for the most part. So the fact is that a lot of CWT customers, which is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, are there because they don't want to be with Amex GBT. And of course, I'm sure vice versa too, right? So when they get folded into this, I imagine a lot of their customers are going to depart. So this idea that, you know, they're going to take this number three biggest company with Amex GBT and number five with CWT and combine it and somehow, you know, gain market share on their competitors, I don't think it's going to play out that way. I think there's going to be a mass exodus.
Yeah. Again, this is the common sentiment I got when I reached out to some of the decision makers and CEOs at some of my customers. They were saying exactly that, Ash. They were saying that actually this is good news for them because they will be picking up those crumbs of customers who don't want to be staying with Amex GBT for that very reason, that they actually left them to be with CWT and now it's the same. So yes, that rings true so far from what I've heard as well.
Yeah, I would change the thought of crumbs into like piles.
Yeah, okay. Pile. Yeah, you think it's more significant than crumbs.
I've never seen a CWT customer want to be with Amex GBT. Because if they did, they would have been with them, right? The fact that the word CWT means that they don't want to be with Amex GBT. So the fact that they got folded in is not happy days for them, for sure.
Very interesting development indeed. We'll be monitoring it closely and see if we can get Amex to maybe even, you know, give us some comments on this, some of those questions we have. But time will tell. We will see. The big one, of course, is the upcoming decision on this by the competition folk who look after this. So we'll see if that comes through. But again, Amex GBT seems very confident that that's going to go through. Ash, just on that comment of the actual value, this is one of the other reasons why Amex is saying this shouldn't be such a problem because of the acquisition price, right? It's not such a big deal.
I don't think that they care about the number when they look at that. They care more about what's the outcome and does that mean less consumer choice? And, you know, we saw the action that was being taken with the airlines, right? I mean, the competition committees are very, very serious about it. And, you know, in the US, less competition, of course, means higher prices. I think that there's going to be pushback. Whether or not it'll be enough to stop it will be a different story. At least publicly, there needs to be some pushback.
Hey, Chris, thank you for joining us.
Morning, guys. I just thought I'd comment on the CWT thing, having worked there for like 15 years. I mean, the valuation, it is the number. What story behind the story, as you always guys go on about, was following COVID, DWT kind of was a 100% family-owned company. And during COVID, the way that they survived was essentially give away their debt as equity into the company. So I think the brand, as a going from family-owned into private equity, that family feel of it kind of is gone. And it's just a case of, do these guys want to check out? I mean, prior to the Amex GBT news, there was a story around SAP was interested. So it kind of wonders, if Amex GBT wouldn't have come in, would CWT even survived? And does that play a question into the sort of, has Amex GBT essentially, you know, saved the day or saved this company from folding if they hadn't have stepped in and bought the company?
Thank you for that comment, Chris. I mean, those are obviously questions in our minds as well. I'm sure you have a lot of nostalgia there for that brand potentially going away, right? And seeing it go.
It's interesting, you know, where does that sit in the Amex GBT sort of family? Does it have its own brand? And I think the answer is no, really. Yeah. It doesn't offer anything unique. Like Egencia is, you know, SME market, and CWT and Amex GBT are essentially competing for the same multinational companies. So where does that leave CWT as a standalone piece?
We'll see where that takes them. But anyway, Chris, thank you so much for your comments. Enjoy the rest of your Easter Monday there, and we'll see you again on the show. Thank you so much. Moving on, the next story, and from your part of the world, the SAS guys have announced that they will increase their EDIFACT distribution fees and remove lower fares from the channel as of 1st of April. Yawn, yawn, yawn. Same old, right, Anne?
Yes, here we go again. Terrible launch day, by the way. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just terrible, isn't it? I mean, I met with some Amex GBT people who were, that's actually a comment in this whole CWT and Amex GBT, is that, I mean, Amex being criticized so much of the NDC initiatives, right? And not much happening on their platforms. Whereas I see CWT is really embracing, you know, especially with Spotnana, embracing any type of new technology. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. I mean, this is the real first proper launch in this market in the Nordics. But, you know, the Nordics is a small market. It's tiny. 37 million people in total.
Let's move on to a story that might become an April Fool's joke. And this is the news that the European Commission is not going to just push through this Lufthansa and ITA Airways deal. They apparently have sent messages to both these companies that they are very worried here about the competition. So we all thought this was a done deal. We've, you know, even talked about the Lufthansa and ITA Airways working together on this. But this is a never-ending story. And now it seems it's never going to end at all, right?
Yes, I mean, how long can this go on for? And I was cracking up. I sent that article to you on Cranky Flyer, who wrote about this. It's just sad. What, they're calling it now the worst airline in the world or something? It's just like never ending. Seems like they really struggle.
A sustained train wreck.
A sustained train wreck. They call this in the article. And I must say that, you know, I mean, Alitalia was a disaster for what, 50 years? And here we go again. It's just Alitalia rebranded and still losing money and really hoping that something would happen with this. But yeah.
Ash, what do you think is going to happen here?
I think the biggest mistake they made was to change their name from Alitalia.
Yes. Well, they have to change the name, right? We're seeing it with, it was the end of Air Malta today and the
yes,
and the new airline, KM Malta.
KM Malta Airways, yes. Called. They paid a lot of money to keep that previous brand name intact. Last week, we heard that Boeing got rid of the CEO, Dave Colhan. I wrote in my story, he got fired. He probably left. I don't know which one it is. Ash, do you know?
Well, he's stepping down is okay. The official okay. wording, which means that he's still in position until the end of the year, right? Yes. So he's stepping down at the end of the year. That kind of allows Boeing to do a little bit of a transition, though. The transition, to your point, has been not really that great because a lot of people are just quitting and leaving. You had the president announce his retirement of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, and you had one of the board members say, I don't want to be head of the board anymore. They need to be somebody else. So they have to bring somebody in that runs Boeing that comes from their quality control and safety side of the business, because the only thing that matters in aviation is safety.
So there's a post by Erica Armstrong about this saying, you know, because the replacement there, a lady called Stephanie Pope, comes from within the company, and she's saying she admires Stephanie and she's definitely earned the right to captain the company. But when you've only worked for one company your entire career, how do you benchmark what a safety culture looks like? And that's a valid question. She's thinking they need somebody from the outside to lead that. But Anne, what are your thoughts?
Totally agree. They need to go back to safety. Safety first and prioritize. Absolutely.
And then the idea of Stephanie, right? I mean, it just comes down to who is Stephanie as a person, right? The fact that she's been there for a long time, I don't think really disqualifies her. Actually, it's probably better because she remembers how it used to be. It needs to go back to what it used to be, which was, you know, safety has to be a priority at Boeing.
Question for you, Ash. Would you take that job if they offered it to you?
I'll take the Alitalia job. I like that one more.
There is no Alitalia job. It's ITA Airways.
No, well, that'll be part of the job.
Sorry, okay. Ash, you would never qualify. Yes. You're not Italian, and you're not related to anybody in Alitalia or an Italian government. So you will never get any job there. Sorry.
By the way, side note, the most powerful woman in India is Italian born.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
okay, guys.
That's right.
I have to say, my other potential April Fool's story was this one, where I was going to say that Boeing has been acquired by Airbus. So they've given up and they buy the shares. But I thought, no, Ash would pick up on that one too quickly.
So no, that would not fly by me.
That's right.
No. Yes.
We had another acquisition from a TMC in the UK last week. It was, again, TAG, the guys who really cater for the entertainment industry. They've acquired a smaller company called Travel Stars in Nashville, which manages travel for country music artists and luxury travel for wealthy individuals. I spoke to TAG about this acquisition. I asked them if they wanted to join our show today, and they said, this is a good acquisition, but we need to wait. There's another one brewing, which will be bigger, and they will give us the scoop on that one when the time is right. So we'll hold them to that when they want to join and talk about this one. What, again, is very nice about the way TAG makes their acquisitions is they will keep TAG Team and Travel Stars intact and focus on that, because what they are buying there is actually the relationship with the customer. Very nice acquisition for TAG once again. Fits in well. then I saw that the NDC aggregator Air Gateway landed quite a big deal with the entire Globalstar travel management network, a TMC network, which includes the likes of Travel Counselors and others. So it's quite a big network, and they have become the preferred NDC aggregator for that group. So good for Air Gateway. I don't know if you have any comments on that one, Anne.
No, just, you know, congratulations. Good for them. We all know that the aggregator business is quite challenging, and they've got a vision. They've got a very, very clear strategy.
Ash, I see that the aggregators are suddenly making also leaps and bounds in the US, which is interesting because the TMCs, they have been resisting that for some time, but suddenly they are taking on the aggregators quite a lot.
Again, congratulations to them for getting the Globalstar network. I mean, that's a huge network for them. And, you know, really, I think what it comes down to is the fact that there is so much fragmentation occurring from content perspective that companies like Air Gateway become valuable, whereas maybe a few years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal. And now with May 1st looming here in the US with American Airlines, and many of these companies are going to start to have some issues as far as not being on the agency list that American is going to publish later this month. I think that this becomes a very, very valuable addition to all the agencies that are involved in the Globalstar network. So this is a great partnership, and I think it'll go a long way.
Cool. Yes, the list. I keep having visions of like a Harry Potter type movie where they, you know, send some weird creature to a big door and hammer a big list on her wall to see who's made that list at American. But anyway, let's just move on. Anne, do you have any extra stories from your side?
Something that caught my attention, and I'd love to hear Ash on a bit more from Ash on this, was Breeze have launched Priceline.
I was going to bring up the fact that this is pretty interesting, right? So we see a couple of scenarios occurring. We see that a few weeks ago, if I remember, Frontier had launched some GDS fares. Now you see Breeze now available on Priceline. And this is the first place that it is besides its own website. So you see some of these little smaller airlines starting to take advantage of the vacuum that's being left by the legacy airlines.
That's the sort of second airline that's gone down. You know, we know that Spirit, they have an NDC API with Expedia, and I'm sure they've got it with Priceline as well. But it's interesting, isn't it? This really caught my attention.
And Breeze is not a small airline anymore. You know, they have almost 200 routes, so they're gaining some popularity here in the US market.
The only issue I have with them is they're very close to that brand in the UK, which you spray on your clothes, Febreze, which freshens up your clothes. But otherwise...
Yeah, we have that.
Oh, you have it? Okay, fine.
We also have fresh clothes here.
Uh-huh. So I do think that brings us to the end of this April Fool's show. For the audience members, thank you so much for giving us your time. We do this weekly, and I'm just going to remind you about that in a minute. But much appreciated. Anne, thank you for your time. Ash, for yours. Over to you, Anne.
Thank you, Rian. Thanks, everyone. And a special shout out to Chris for commenting.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every week on Monday. Please do share this event with everyone that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. If you ever miss the show because of time zone or availability, the podcast will be available on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.